An hour later, the sun was climbing up the sky. The garden was filled with lords and ladies, their wigs, laces, and parasols sparkling in the morning sunlight. The royal orchestra played serenely in the background, and the fool jingled from group to group, leaving a trail of laughter in his wake. Worthington leaned in the shade against a large oak tree. His 100 soldiers stood behind him, stood at attention, their hands upon their swords. Suddenly the crowd hushed. A whisper passed amongst the 1,000 guests, and one lone trumpet began the royal fanfare. One trumpet, and then another, and yet another trumpet joined in. And then there she was. Amphibia stepped slowly into the garden. Step by step, she neared the dais, and the crowd sighed. It was as if overnight she had truly become the ruler of this realm. And even Worthington seemed to forget that she was just a young girl and sank to his knees in earnest as she climbed the dais and turned and sat upon the throne. Amphibia looked over the crowd of kneeling noblemen and soldiers, lords and ladies, servants and masters. All eyes were cast down, all heads bowed save one. The clear eyes of Josquin looked upon her. She nodded, and he raised the trumpet to his lips. With the first note, the Grand Vizier raised the crown and held it above her head, face upon shining face turned up to look at her, eyes sparkling like sunlight on rippling water. The crown's shadow crossed her face as the Grand Vizier lowered it to her head. And as she felt it touch her hair, an icy stream trickled through Amphibia's heart. She closed her eyes, her pulse racing, and as she felt the first weight of the crown, a burning chill rose in her chest, and a flash of liquid fire coursed through her veins. It felt like every molecule of her body was changing. It seemed as though her ears were closing in, her throat enlarging. The crown was unbearably heavy. It was crushing her, suffocating her, and through a screaming in her ears came a far more horrible sound. Laughter, at first barely audible, and then louder and louder and louder. Laughter, it started in the front of the crowd and rippled back. Laughter, horrible, derisive laughter. Amphibia could feel her skin turn clammy and slick. She suddenly needed water desperately, needed it like she never knew it could be needed. She had to get to the pond, but where, oh, where was Josquin? She opened her eyes and searched through the crowd. They were laughing and pointing and holding their bellies, tears running down their faces, and there, just below the platform, was Worthington, waving his sword and shouting, "You ugly, slimy, despicable!" But where was Josquin? Amphibia looked in desperation down the stairs. She could see her shadow. Her horrible, froggy shadow hopping up and down, and yet she couldn't move. She had to pull the crown off her head. She had to find some way to do it before it crushed her. She reached up to her head. She could feel the crown, warm from the morning sun, and below it she felt something soft and spongy and dry. But what was it? It felt like... Why, it was her own hair. She grabbed a handful and pulled it in front of her eyes. Yes, it was her own hair. She squeezed her cheeks, her lips, her chin. It was her own face, her face, not the face of a frog. But the shadow. She looked down and there it was again, a huge frog. And then suddenly she remembered. Of course it was the shadow of the fool. She'd asked him to create a diversion. He was dressed as a frog. He was hopping up and down the dais stairs and leaping at Worthington, who quivered, sobbing on a chair. And everyone was laughing at Worthington. Oh, poor Worthington, she thought. He must be mortified. Stop that! Stop it, fool! Stop it! Stop it! Stop it! Stop it! Stop it. Laugh at his fears. Everybody's afraid of something. Some of us are even afraid of who we are inside. But don't laugh at his fear just because you don't understand it. Laughter's wonderful, but not when we laugh at each other. And suddenly Amphibia looked over the crowd and her heart was full to bursting. She stood and opened her arms wide. Let us celebrate each other and the king that was and the king that is inside each of us. Every eye was upon her, every breath was held, and then as if in one voice, they all shouted, "Long live Amphibia! Long live the king!"